knows that Melbourne, our city, is the culinary headquarters of Australia. Best chefs, best restaurants, best everything to do with food, waiting staff, vibe, cafes, all of it. We nail it, don't we, Fev?
Not as much as you just nailed that.
Well,
that was impressive.
I know, but I get fired up when Sydney try to pop their head in.
Sydney,
you've got the Harbour Bridge, you've got the Opera House.
That's
you
it.
Don't have culture.
You've got
guys.
The Sydney Swans Coach football team, but that is it.
No, yeah, stay out of it. And
stay in your lane.
You're lucky. You won't stay on the show if you keep that up.
I left Sydney. I much prefer Melbourne.
Well, yeah, but stay out of it. now, Bill Granger, Sydney chef, has come out and said one of the most ridiculous things I've heard in a very long time. He has decided to pop his hand up and say, hey, guys, just so everyone's aware, I invented avocado on toast.
Come on, Bill.
Now, Bill.
Someone did.
Yeah, somebody. Yeah, okay. I just want to make this really clear because he said in 1993 in his cafe, his snack menu in his Darlinghurst Cafe in Sydney, he decided to serve the dish avocado on toast. Mm-hmm. I hear you, Bill. But, and I don't dispute that you popped it on your menu in 1993. And I don't dispute that it is now in every menu, in every cafe. But at some stage in history, in one corner of the world, somebody walked into their pantry, opened it. What have I got? Bread, avocados. I'm going to whack that on toast.
Surely.
That happened. You cannot put your hand up and say you invented avocado
on toast. In fact, bread goes right back to our cavemen. You know, surely.
Somebody. Isn't it called damper?
Yeah, damper
with that. Damper and avocado. Something's happened at some stage.
I will give
Bill Granger honeycomb butter.
Honeycomb butter and
ricotta hotcakes. I'll
Bill's.
Give that to Bill.
Yep.
But the funny thing about this, though, is, and I've said this before because I remember one, it was almost what turned me off, one of my ex-boyfriends, was when he said he'd started that trend. Remember about 5-10 years ago, whatever, people started saying not at the end of sentences. Like, yeah, I'm going to the gym, not. He said he was the first to do it.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, and I remember going, and I had an argument with him about it, but you're not the first to do it. And he said, no, I kid you not, no. I did it. And I just lost all respect and nearly, I think that was the start of the relationship.
Sure.
But if you have 13-10-60 or you feel you've got a bit of Bill Granger in you, you know and believe you invented something that's gone on to be super popular. Now, mm-hmm. maybe that's a saying. Maybe that's something like a food that's gone. Maybe you think you created Mocha's. Fev,
yes,
you think you created something.
Yeah, I did. I created the photo bomb.
Talk us through that again.
So it was, I think it might have been in like 1993, 92 at Waverley Park. I was selling pizzas, hot pizza, because I used to get around for Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Used to love my job. And the perks of the job, I used to sneak into the rooms because that's where the pizzas were made, down in the members. I used to sneak into the rooms. And North Melbourne had won the Ansett Cup back then. Remember the Ansett Cup?
Remember Ansett?
Yeah, had heaps of points there. anyway, I was behind Mickey Martin. And had my Mighty Ducks hat on, and I just photobombed.
So when you say photo,
no one else had done it before.
So he was being interviewed.
Yeah, and I went out the back and went, woo, and he had the cup.
And no one else had done that before.
No one had done it
before. 92. Okay.
You've said this many times. Now, firstly, do you have evidence of it?
Yeah, because
it's just a story. You've got a picture?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where is it?
What we thought you might say this. And I've got nothing to do with this, by the way. This might may or may not be our executive producer, Leon Shergren.
Right.
I have some audio of a photo bomb that happened on a USA newscast in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
Can we please play it, Byron?
Chances are, take a shot of this. I want you to get a shot of this.
Are you communist?
Huh?
Are you?
No, we're all Americans, man. Yeah, you're an American, I'm an American.
Who are you?
This is Ike Pappas at Socolow Park attempting to do a close. You see what we have to go through? Thank you very much. Would you mind?
Just a guy photobombing him and annoying him.
No, but did he say that was a photobomb, bro? No, he didn't. When I was behind, I went, photobomb.
Well, I mean, I don't want... Okay, if you're not going to accept that 1974 photobomb live on television...
Because that was only 18 years before your claim.
Would you accept... Now, this was actually submitted by somebody listening to the show the last time you mentioned this. I have photographic evidence from Chicago in 1910 of a little boy photobombing these two ladies.
No, but that's not...
We just popped that up on our Instagram.
No, he's just selling
no,
a paper.
He's jumped in behind and waved.
No.
That's 1910.
That's his mum and his sister, and he's like, hey, wait for me. I want to get in the photo.
So that's being disputed.
It just looks like maybe you weren't the first person to photobomb in 1994.
Let's have a look.
How good are the kits back in the day anyway?
301060, what do you think you invented? Stand by it like Fev. Maybe you will not accept that you were not the first to do something.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 1019, The Fox.
Sydney restaurateur Bill Granger has come out and said that he created avocado on toast. Honestly. I mean, 1993, he thinks he was the first guy to mash up an avocado and pop it on a piece of bread. And I argue that has definitely happened before 1974. But this is the great thing about people who think they've invented things. And then you look at them and you say, Fev, you clearly didn't invent the photobomb, but you refuse to believe that.
They don't cop it, do they?
I've just shown Fev a photo of a 1910 photobomb in sepia. A black and white photo, and you still think that that's not a photo.
Well, if you can get that young child to say that he said, I photobombed, I will take it.
Actually, it's 1910. That man may still be alive, 108.
We'll have a look.
Plus whatever he was.
Yeah, okay, 118-year-old.
Tamara in Narre Warren. Hi, Tamara.
Hi, guys.
Tamara, are you of the strong belief that you have invented something or that you were the first to do something?
It was my dad, actually. About 17 years ago, he was adamant that he created Coke with lemon.
Right, okay, so what did he just had a glass of Coke and popped a little lemon on the side you get at most pumps?
He used to just squeeze a lemon in his glass of Coke and just refused to believe that he didn't invent it when Coke actually came out with it.
Another revelation for me, did Coke come out with that? Is that a thing?
It was a thing. It was a thing before cherry Coke and lime, a Coke with lime.
Do you know what?
Maybe.
I used to just pour a bit of vanilla essence in my Coke.
Oh,
and then
there we
came
go.
Up with vanilla Coke.
Oh, God.
You're a pioneer as well.
I just made that up.
Thank you, Tamara. We appreciate that.
Thanks, Tamara. Kylie in Hampton. Hi, Kylie.
Hi.
Kylie, what did you invent or what were you the first to do?
I would have been a billionaire if I had the tools to actually put this into practice, but I invented spray-on sunscreen about 15 years ago. I was at home thinking, oh, there must be a better way of doing this. I'm sick of getting my hands all greasy. It's getting everywhere. I couldn't find one of those little spray bottles. I was going to mix it with some water, but I would have been a million or billionaire. I'm spewing.
Because honestly, I was about to pay this. If you'd actually put sunscreen in a container that had a nozzle and sprayed it, so you had the thought to do it but couldn't find something
couldn't
to put
find
it in.
The bottle.
Ah.
Look through all the cupboards. There was no spare bottle.
Can we be certain you couldn't buy spray-on sunscreen before 2003?
I don't think you could.
Are you sure?
I might pay that.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
No, I don't think I used to see that.
Okay. No,
it's
well.
The thing I see now.
Thank you, Kylie.
I'll give Kylie that.
I mean,
idea.
Feb over here is laughing, claims to have created the photo bomb.
I know. Mate, it's rich.
I also created something else.
Oh, that what?
Remember I told you a story last year when the Nike executives come over from America.
Oh, yes, I believe
this. We all sat in a boardroom, and because I'm a goal kicker, your hands get wet when it's wet or your hands get sweaty, so I had the shimmy on the back of the short so you could wipe your hand on it.
Had you sewed it on?
Yeah, bang.
Yeah.
So your hands get dry before I have a shot so the ball doesn't slip out. Anyway, they took that back to America, made the shorts, and I got no credit.
You genuinely invented that. I'll pay that. Not the photobomb. James in South Yarra. Hi, James.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. James, what did you invent?
I invented the phrase boom shakalaka.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 1019, The Fox.
Grid Girls, it's over. Formula One have sensationally axed Grid Girls. This is across the board. This is Liberty Media, the American company that owns Formula One, et cetera, all of that stuff that's to do with sport that I don't know much about. they've done this to keep up with the growing clamour not to objectify women. It's interesting because I didn't realise this, but this is only days after darts. Now, I'm definitely not up to speed with darts. Sure. I know that cars run around the track.
180!
I'm not familiar with darts, but they announced that they were ditching walk-on models.
Right.
So this is odd. Now, Feb, you are shaking your head. We would love to hear your initial reaction to this.
Oh, what's wrong with the world? It's been in, how long has this been going on for? 50 years?
For a long time. Women have been objectified for a long, long time.
No, but the grid girls or... I mean, I don't care if there's a guy standing out there holding it in his budgie smugglers with his abs out. I wouldn't mind seeing some abs. I like abs. It's got nothing to... I don't understand what that... People... I just don't get it, Boxy. I don't understand why... Like, Alex's best friend used to run the grid girls and go all around Australia with with the V8s. I think Alex might have done it back in the day as well.
Ooh.
So it's a platform. It's a platform for girls or male, whoever, to go out there. They hold the flag. They walk out.
Wear the sponsor gear.
Wear the sponsor gear. Promote, because people look. Mate, great advertising. Advertising. Put like a big Coke sign or a big Formula One Australian flag on someone's abs, a bloke's abs. Bang, I'm going to look. Oh, yeah. Look at the fox on that guy's abs.
I know.
Advertisements.
Now, you know that I don't believe in political correctness gone mad, and sometimes I think it's going too far. This one, though...
This is too far.
No, see, for me, this one, and I've always thought this, before even this recent clamour to stop objectifying women, I even know as a teenager when I used to watch this sport on the news and I just see girls in tight little hot pants and a bra, and I used to think... What is that? And why does she have to wear that? And why has she got knee-high boots and stilettos? I don't understand. And that was as a young girl. I didn't know why that was happening.
Okay, so when we go to the pools, does everyone cover up and just jump in with their normal clothes on?
But that's swimming. These are men who are covered up in full suits to drive cars.
Get males involved as well.
And then you've got girls walking around. And I've even been to the Grand Prix in, you know, March, April. It can be freezing and those girls have been walking around in those outfits. And you think, that's not... Give them a coat. It's an interesting one, Fev, because even some models have come out, and a famous model, Kelly Brook, over in the UK, she's come out and she's absolutely caned this and said this is a great opportunity for models and girls.
It's a platform.
So there is that argument. I hear what you're saying, and what you're saying is then have men out topless. But see, I don't even think men should have their abs out. Just no one needs their abs out. It's unnecessarily sexualizing a sport, I think, that doesn't need to be sexualized by chicks in bras standing there on the stage with the winning guy.
It's 10 minutes and it's entertainment. It's there. You go and look. It's like when you go to the boxing and the ring girls hold the thing.
Well, I know. See, this.
Well, they'll go too.
The thing is,
gone.
But they'll be gone. No, but they will be gone.
They will be. That's what's happening. They will be gone. Oh, look, it's an interesting question, isn't it? Because we still have video clips. We still have pop stars getting around in hot pants, and we sexualize everything for
mate,
music.
Instagram,
but sport.
All you see on Instagram is people in bikinis and no tops, and
that is you know, Fev, it is a bigger issue. And I see that sport is now coming into line and not wanting to objectify women and hopefully men. But there is a whole other world. It's like social media, and you raise a really good point. Social media has become an offshoot over on the side where all you get is bikinis and bras. It's like that's all you see. Because, and I've often said, I'm bringing up a daughter in a world where if she gets into this followers and likes mentality, she'll look, well, that girl's got 4 million followers. No one knew her. She was a chick that was at my school, and she just wears a bikini every day. There's lots of deep-seated issues that I think need to be uncovered. But
I don't get Instagram like that. Like, I see a beautiful lady will get her bikinis on and she'll get like a million likes. I took a photo with my top off laying on the couch. I didn't get a thousand.
It's just unfair.
That's not fair.
In fact, approach the Formula One bosses and say, I'm happy very to happy to model.
I'm happy.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Grid girls banned from the Grand Prix forever?
Yes, Byron, and it sort of fired me up a little bit. It's PC gone wrong.
Because we were just talking about it 10 minutes ago and you just said, I'm not done, I have to keep saying something.
Because what it is people who have banned this, the girls on the grid, they choose to do that. They're not forced to do it. They choose to do it. It's a source of income for them. They want to do it. They want to be models. They want to go out there. They're choosing to do it because they love it. It's like when Instagram girls take photos. I do the same when I take a photo. I take like 15 photos of myself. Oh, that's a good one. And then I post it in my own home. I choose to wear that. I choose to do that. With these girls, they're choosing to go out there. They're not forced to go out there. They want to do it.
I think, though, what we would like to encourage in girls in generations to come, though, is to have other, to feel self-esteem and to choose to do things that are not necessarily taking their clothes off.
But they feel
but they're taking their clothes off and standing out there in bikinis because they know that they're going to get ogled at and people will love that and that's how they get a job. We'd like to say, hey, you can get a job for not having to take your clothes off.
Yeah, but they choose to. What's happened is they're taking that away from them. They're taking that job away.
But there's other jobs, there's other modelling jobs.
But they love to do that. They go.
But it's just
there.
Basically
people
saying he's a very male-dominated sport, and the way you can be involved is stand next to the guy that's winning the trophies in a bikini. Just the messaging. It's objectifying women.
You know what this is? It's a Facebook post, and this will go mad if we put this up and get opinions on this Grid Girls topic because it's got everyone fired up here at the show.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Comedian Fiona O'Loughlin opened up last night on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, about her battle with alcohol, and she's been going through that for quite a while, and people in the industry, particularly fellow comedians, have been aware of it and been sending her lots of good wishes over the years, and to see her recovered, not drinking, particularly in that environment, it's wonderful to see, because she even admitted last night, and Fev, you knew this, that she didn't pass the psych evaluation to get in on the first time she attempted to.
Yeah, and that was my year that I was in 2016, that she was supposed to go in but didn't pass the psych test or the medical, and obviously she went into what had happened to her, which was devastating. 2.5 weeks she was in a coma, didn't even realise, can't even remember what happened.
Wow.
But it was so... Because I've been in the show, I'm surprised how much we talk about it. So I was just sitting there when you were talking about it, then I go, I wonder if they were talking about all our stuff when I was in
everything
there.
Everything you said. Everything.
We said, we like that guy so much, we want him on our show.
But you don't realise, and it was so good to see her open up about alcoholism, and it's, you know, affected her life. And I think she said one quote is, you never see an alcoholic that everything's just turned out really well, unless they've got off it. And she's got off it, and she's gone in there, and... She's my favourite. Absolute favourite in there. She's beautiful. I love her.
I know. She's doing so well. Well, this was her. We were a grab of her opening up about her battle with alcohol.
This disease is shrouded in shame, you know, and it's particularly shameful being a mother. But I can't live inside that shame, or I can't be of any use to anyone. When you are a chronic alcoholic, I am, there's only three endings.
Yeah.
There's death, jail or institution. That's it.
So confronting. And the thing about alcoholism, it touches everyone. I would be surprised if there was a family in Melbourne that didn't somehow have a connection to alcoholism. And we were just thinking this morning, there were so many questions that you want to ask an alcoholic. Because the thing about alcohol is it's everywhere.
It's in
front
of you.
So if you're an alcoholic and you need to, or you're trying to recover and you go out to dinner, it's a birthday celebration. Oh, people! I've walked into places and people hand you a glass of champagne.
Straight on arrival.
I mean, the way to function, how you function as an alcoholic, we were hoping on 131060, if somebody could call us, and if you are an alcoholic, a recovering alcoholic, maybe you're still struggling and the battle is in you right now, give us a call, 131060, because we'd love to ask the questions that I think people would love to ask an alcoholic to get to understand the disease better.
I know a guy, one of my mates, whose father was an alcoholic, and he goes out and parties with everyone, and there's actually a beer that's made that looks like a beer, so you're having a normal beer, but it's actually got no alcohol in it. So he takes a six-pack of them everywhere he goes, and he cracks one open, so it looks like he's having a beer, but he's actually drinking a non-alcoholic, it's like a ginger beer or something, just a non-alcoholic beer, but so he feels social, and everyone thinks that he's drinking.
But what does that say about the Australian culture, that we have such a drinking culture, you have to bring fake beer to a party so that you're not in some way teased or pushed into drink? You know what I mean?
It's I don't drink a lot. Mm. I don't really drink. Yeah. I'm not against it. I'll have a few drinks. When I do, it gets very messy very fast.
Sure.
But everywhere I go, or if I say I'll just have a water, people just go, pregnant?
Yeah, see?
Pregnant? No, just
cultural.
Don't want one. Just don't want it.
I think he does it mentally, Byron. Yeah. So he feels like he's getting involved, having a drink, and people aren't going, oh, do you want me to get you a beer? Because he's got his own.
I'm glad it works. It's fantastic.
It works, which is a good thing.
There's calls coming through already on this one, guys, so we'll come back to them. The number, 131060.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Fiona O'Loughlin opened up about her battle with alcoholism last night on I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here. And we were just saying before that there wouldn't be a family in Melbourne, there wouldn't be anyone in Melbourne who wasn't touched by alcoholism in some way, has somebody in their family, a friend, somebody they know. It's so insidious, and it's an interesting thing for somebody like myself. I'm not a drinker. I don't even really socially drink. So I can't understand it. And I thought if we could get somebody who is an alcoholic on the line and to ask them some questions, it would be really enlightening, because they're the sort of questions you don't want to ask at a party when you meet someone and they go, I'm an alcoholic. You go, okay, you've got any kids, but this is the forum where we thought, let's really dig deep and find out. Now we've got Kevin from Huntingdale. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how you going?
Good. Kevin, thanks so much for calling. Now, you are a recovering alcoholic. How long have you been sober?
About 10 years now.
Kevin, talk to us about your battle with alcohol when you were drinking and how difficult that is. What is life like?
Well, it was in my adolescent years, and alcohol for me was, I guess, very similar to a lot of, I guess, drug addicts. It's an addiction. I spent about 10 years every day drunk. I would go out drinking all night and would wait, stay drunk, and the next morning find the first pub or club or venue that was open just to keep drinking. It just becomes an obsession. It controls your life.
Now, Kev, I used to have a few issues back in the day, and I'd get on the drink sometimes, and I did it to mask or to hide from something. And when you get drunk, you forget about it, and then it doesn't become a problem until you obviously wake up and you sober up. Was there anything you were masking or hiding, or was it just that you just wanted to go out and drink?
No, for me, it was just complete loneliness. I don't fit in socially, and I still struggle with it today. And it's very much in Australian culture. I get looked at when you go to a party or an event and everything, and it's like, well, do you want a drink? No. It's like everyone looks at you like there's something actually wrong with you, that you're not a functioning human if you're not, got a beer in your hand or a drink.
That's Kevin, definitely an Australian thing, FIFA. That doesn't happen in America, that culture. It's definitely an Aussie culture, that.
It is, and it's so true, Kevin, because I can say I don't drink a lot either. I really don't drink, but I can have a drink. But I find that a lot of people who are a bit socially awkward or don't like to walk into a party, a drink is, it's safe, it's have one. After a couple, you relax. I mean, that's what it does. That's what the drug does. And I think that can be very difficult, and I think that's how a lot of people end up in the situation that you were in, probably.
Yeah.
Kev, sorry, I just want to ask you too, what was your rock bottom? When did you take that next step to come out of the disease and work through it?
My rock bottom was living in the streets, no money, no job, no family around you, and you pretty much couldn't get any lower.
Gee.
And how are you going? How are you going now, mate? Everything back on track?
Yeah, for the most part, life's all right. I get along with things, so.
10 years. Yeah. I mean, it's an achievement, 10 years.
But you're not alone in that, Kevin. I can hear what you were saying. You are isolated and you struggle socially. I just want you to know you're not alone in that. And I think sometimes even really confident people, I find that. Some days I just don't go to things because I think I just don't want to, I'm not socially up to it today. Mm. I think that's a shame. A lot of people do turn to alcohol in those situations. But I just want you to know, Kev, you're not alone in that. And I think it's important for people that are in the public eye, even like us, to say, we get that too.
Absolutely.
You're not alone.
And, Kev, have you gone to like an AA group or, those people that get together and obviously going through the same problem as you to obviously hang out with those guys and be able to do things without drinking?
No, I actually, at the time, was helped by the Salvation Army.
That's great. That's
brilliant.
Kev,
I mean, some great help
you,
out there.
Really, thank you so much for sharing that, Kevin. It's a really brave and courageous thing to do.
We appreciate Kevin's call. If you or someone you know is dealing with an addiction, you can head to directline.org.au and they can help with counselling and referral to specialist treatment services.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Our next guest, just the highest selling Australian artist of all time,
Fee. Right, so exciting to have her back on the show, Kylie Minogue. Kyles, welcome back.
Hello. Hi.
Oh, it's so good to have. Not only is it great to have your fantastic new single, Dancing, which we'll play in a few minutes, rolling around the Fox, but to have you back on the show, what a treat. How are you?
I'm good. I'm on the opposite side of the globe, but I feel connected because I spent Christmas and New Year's in Australia, so I had like a really good fix of Australia recently.
I'll call you Kylie. Obviously, Boxy's a real Kyles.
I got very familiar, yes.
You're in Kyles.
almost too much.
And, I mean, we must point out that Dancing's obviously the first single, but Golden, your album, is out, and I love this, just a day after my daughter's birthday, April 6th.
Nice touch.
Well, that's got no relevance.
Okay. But we're so looking forward to this. And, Kylie, that's your 14th studio album, the first one in 4 years, so we're very excited that this has been in the pipeline. What is it like for you when you are approaching a new album? Where does it come from? Do you wake up one morning and go, I think I've got something, an idea here. I know what direction I want to go in.
No. No, it's more a case of that would be great. But
It's more feeling like, okay, it's time. Just it's time to go in and, yeah, and my 14th, and there's a, when you said that, I just thought, oh my God, how did that happen?
It's
my 14th studio album. I really felt rejuvenated with this album, and I think having the challenge of making it sound a little bit different was great. It wasn't easy to get to that point, but once we kind of knew what it was, it became a real joy.
And Kyle's up with that 4 years. I like to punch things out quickly. I'm very lazy. I like to have a good time. How much break did you have, and how long did it take to get the album out? Did you rest for a couple of years?
Yeah, what did I do? Well, I was touring the last album, so that would have been a year. Mm. I can't explain the next 2 years and then the last year.
So you had a good time. That's all I want to say.
I really don't have a good answer.
What did I do?
I think.
What happened? What planet was I on?
Yeah, that's good. I like it.
Now, Connie, you might have heard the news over in London because it was breaking news last week that we got really sad about, but Festival Hall is going to be turned into some apartment blocks, such an iconic venue.
So well's been turned into apartment blocks.
I know, and we thought this is such a sacred part of Melbourne. The Beatles played there. I know you've played there twice.
Yeah, I think the last time I played there was with the Scissor Sisters. I joined them on stage.
That's right, you did. It was fantastic.
I could be wrong.
That was 2010, right. Yeah, 2010 in our archives feef, I believe.
Yes, and then do you remember when you played there for a benefit at the Fitzroy Football Club back in 86?
Is that where it was?
Yes.
You performed the locomotion.
Yes. You've been there twice.
I never remembered where it was. That's shameful.
That's why it's closing down, Kylie. That's why there's getting apartments.
Do you have any memories? Did you ever see a gig there? Have you gone to watch anyone other than when you have performed?
I don't think so.
Again, this could be part of the problem.
I moved out of Melbourne pretty early.
Kylie, it's so funny because I've launched this big campaign to celebrate Festival Hall, and we're calling it Festival Hall's Curtain Call. And I have to be honest, I've never been there myself. So I'm the wrong person to spearhead this.
Thief went to drive there, Kylie, and she ended up at the Palais in St Kilda.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, she thought it was the Palais in St Kilda.
Now that one, I've got a lot of memories.
You'll love this, Kylie, because this big event that I'm organising, I'm not very good at organising things, it's called Festival Hall's Curtain Call.
Right.
I'll be honest, Festival Hall haven't agreed to let me have the function there. I don't have a date. I can't really lock anyone in yet.
Is this just living in your head?
Yeah, Kylie. It's all in my head. So let's just say, in my head, and again, I'm happy for this to just stay in my head, if by chance on some random date when you've definitely got something else locked in, and even if that gets cancelled, and then that gets cancelled, and then four things get cancelled, would you consider appearing at my fictional concert that I've yet to get off the ground?
I would definitely, maybe, most likely consider thinking about appearing or being there live via satellite or on the World Wide Web to your non-existent benefit concert.
Yes!
We'll take that as a yes!
Yes!
It's basically a done deal.
Exactly! Even in hologram, I can say I may
You are going to say Festival Hall.
Yes.
Oh, Kylie, you can go down my road. I'm actually wanting to buy one of these apartments. It's going to be great. It's a great venue, great spot. Good investment.
Is there another one? Maybe I'm in.
Yeah.
Well, Feb's had a good look at the floor plans, Kylie, and he's pretty impressed with what he sees. So we'll certainly send you that brochure.
Maybe it could be the entertainment industry's retirement home.
Oh, Kylie, you're the best. Look, this has been so much fun. And don't worry, I will definitely, I've got Kylie possibly maybe one day considering being
via
part
satellite.
Of it. Via satellite. And to celebrate, why don't we play your brand new single, Dancing? Because I feel like dancing
that
right now.
Amazing.
Let's play it right now. It's on the air right here at 101.9 The Fox, and of course the album Golden, the 6th of April worldwide. Thanks for joining us, Kylie Minogue.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Lots of love. Bye.
Fifi, Feb and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Time to have some fun.
I know when that hotline ring, yeah, that can only mean one thing. Mm-hmm. It's called Hotline Ring. Okay. We need you to sing the next line.
Now, Feb and I, yesterday, we hung back, didn't we, Byron? You two. We were all sitting here in the studio and
thought,
guys.
Big day.
you know what we should do? And we are here at the radio station, and the radio station is all about music. Mm. And the thing is, though, even though you might listen to music all day, are you really taking on board the lyrics? And we thought to ourselves, I wonder if people actually know the lyrics to the songs that they're listening to. So we decided that we would, for an hour, sit in the studio and ring random numbers and play a song, one song, until they sang the lyrics along with the music.
Oh, wow.
So, Fev,
yes,
you chose the song
yesterday.
I chose
the song, and what other song am I going to choose other than Daryl Braithwaite? Horses! And everyone knows that song.
Well, I said to you at the time, you've picked a song that everyone knows. This is going to be really boring. But you have to remember, they don't actually know what's going on.
And we don't talk to them.
These are random people picking up a phone, and we will not give up until they sing the lyrics to Horses.
Hello, Gene Seekers. That's the way it's going to be, little darling. Hello. That's the way it's going to be, little darling. I'm not playing the Horses on the phone. That's the way it's going to be, little darling. We're going riding
with the horses, yeah, yeah. Hello, Sarah speaking. That's the way it's going to be, little
darling.
Hello.
That's the way it's gonna be,
little darling.
Keep going.
Hello, this is Mitch.
That's the way it's gonna be, little darling. We'll go riding on the horses, yeah, yeah. Way up in the sky, little darling. And if you fall, pick you up, pick you up.
Hello, Taylor speaking. That's the way it's gonna be,
little darling. Oh my goodness, I don't know who this is, but that has made my day. Oh my goodness, maybe I meant to sing the second part of the song. It's gonna be, little
darling. You go riding on the horses, yeah, yeah.
Hello. That's the way it's gonna be, little darling. You go riding with the horses, yeah, yeah. Way up in the sky, little darling. And if you call, I'll pick you up. I'll pick you up. Jeez, I'm in the middle of a gym singing this. This is embarrassing. Beep, beep, Dev and Byron. Beep, beep, Dev and Byron.